podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
They could break here, Chelsea. This could be the moment. Frank Lampard for Chelsea. It's Carvalho to his right. Lampard for the title. Lampard! It's 2-0! It's Chelsea's championship! And 50 years of waiting have come to an end!
Lampard comes out to Essien!
Oh my goodness.
It's a counter-attack. It's Didier Drogba. And now get down the middle. Drogba goes!
Stretch it.
Chelsea 2, Arsenal 0. And Didier Drogba has...
Drogba in the centre!
Mitchell just came from the back.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Chelsea Hour. My name is Daniel Soff, I'm your host for today. Joining with me, I've got the person that we've locked down to a 7-year contract. Jermaine, we're never going to let you go. What are you saying, bro?
Yeah, what are you saying? I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Cool. Second week in a row. Always a pleasure to have you on. And then we've got Shemi. Shemi, listen, I'm not going to interrupt you on this podcast. I listen to the main pod. You can't even get your points off when it comes to Chelsea.
I always feel so sorry for him, bro.
It's nasty, man. Like, especially with a big game like that, where his emotions are so high, like, just couldn't get anything off. But yeah, back in the safe space. So
safe space. And we've got a lot to talk about today, actually, because, bruv, it's Chelsea, isn't it? and it's the January transfer window. So I thought, look, the Liverpool game happened just after the last Chelsea hour, so we all touch on it, but it's so long ago that we won't like go into depth. I think Nonny signed like a week ago, but there's so many signings, it feels like old news. We were supposed to cover it in the last pod, but I don't really know much about him. I've seen people compare him to a Robin, maybe because he's at PSV, maybe it's lazy, but then he is left-footed, that plays on the right. But even when we bought Robin, for those, listen, I've got age on my side, so I try to educate with some. I'm like a historian, you know what I'm saying? A wise historian. But Robin at PSV, left-footed, played on the left. When we bought him at Chelsea,
started on the left.
Yeah, a lot of time. For Chelsea, most of the time, he played on the left. Like, the whole... Yeah. Robin on the right thing, cutting in. That was a Bayern thing. It wasn't necessarily a Chelsea thing. Not that he...
Ramaged.
Right. It's not that he stayed on the left at Chelsea, because we remember Robin and Duff switched places. In fact, it's a good time to talk about Robin and Duff, because we've been starving for wingers that are fast for a long time. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we have that. But I just want to come to you, Shemi. Shemi, anything you know about Nonny? I call him Noddy because I don't want to butcher his last name. Even though I'm Nigerian, I'm still not that comfortable. But maybe you, how you say it?
Madueke.
Madueke. Are you confident with that pronunciation, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Confident. And what about the player? How confident are you with your knowledge of the player?
Yeah, similar to you. I don't know too much about him. It's funny because when we were linked, what I do is when we're linked for a player, I search him into the WhatsApp group chat. And because obviously, you know, we've got some undercover scouts in that chat. So the guys were talking about Nonny back in 2020 and they were bigging him up. So I went to watch some comps of him. So really and truthfully, I've only like seen comps. I haven't watched him. I don't know too much about him. But I like what I see, to be fair to him. I do like what I see. Like you said, we've been starved of players who are actually just like fast and they can beat players. It looks like he's got explosiveness. It looks like he's got power. And he can shoot. So when you put those three attributes as a winger, it's a very, very good starting point. Especially the shooting aspect. It looks like he likes to lick shots and get shots off at goal, which is, again, something we've missed for a very long time. But in terms of my actual knowledge, I'm not too knowledgeable about him. But from what I've seen from the comps, it looks like he's got a good base to go from. So yeah, I'm excited to see him, and it's something different because I feel like we haven't had any left footers for a very, very long time. So yeah,
I wanted to bring up a point, but I really, on this podcast, I'm just going to let Shemi go. I'm not even going to try to interrupt because I'm still pissed off about the main point I'm drinking. But another reason why he's linked with Robben is because injury prone. So I don't know the stats, but I've seen it floating around social media that he's played so little games for someone that's been there for like 3 years or whatever. And it's all because of injuries. But what you mentioned about his shots, yeah, that's one. Sometimes people compare him to Bell as well. Obviously, he was a Spurs youngster. Maybe they're not really necessarily advertising that fact, but he does seem to have a powerful shot. But the injury-prone thing, listen, I'm still, to this day, I'm not over the fact that we sold Robben. And Robben actually done something a while ago, but it resurfaced in the week about how when he left Chelsea to go to Real Madrid, he really wanted to just come back to Chelsea because he missed it there and he preferred being at Chelsea than Real Madrid. Obviously, he found another home at Bayern Munich, but when Robben left, Robben said the reason why he left Chelsea, not that he was unhappy here, but he saw that Mourinho was frustrated with the fact that he wasn't always available. And we've seen it with Reece James, we've seen it Kante, a lot of fans nowadays, if a player's injury prone, they're like, get rid. Do you know what I'm saying? But I think,
yeah,
I always say if we kept Robben, we would have won a lot more leagues under Mourinho, because even like I get Mourinho being emotional and frustrated, but I think he was a difference a lot of the times in those first two wins. He was the difference, and he wasn't necessarily, he was injured, I think, for definitely the first season, maybe the second season as well. But if you have an injury prone player that's world class, you still keep him round, because even if you get half a season out of them, that's still half a season that can be a difference. And we've seen that with Aguero. We've seen that with Robben for Bayern Munich and all that type of stuff. But yeah, so Madueke, I've got the confidence to say his surname now, but let's see if he can be, even if he's injury prone, let's see if he could be a net positive. Jermaine, what's your take on Oni?
I'm just kind of happy to see that we've got something similar on both sides, because yeah, I feel like right now, if you look at a lot of the teams that are doing well,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, the players that are making things happen is often through that kind of pace and directness and, you know, that little bit, that little moment where they just beat a couple players and they just make stuff happen. Like, I was even watching that Rashford goal yesterday, for example.
Yeah.
It wasn't even really a thing where, like, he kind of gets lucky with a little ricochet and that, but it's like, he kind of gets lucky with like a little ricochet and that, but it's the fact that he's being so direct and trying to beat players that he gets that kind of luck. Do you know what I mean? And I just feel like when you don't have those players, it's so hard to kind of make stuff happen, mm-hmm. unless the guys that you've got on the ball mm-hmm. are like exceptionally good. So mm-hmm. in terms of passing wise and stuff. So mm-hmm. like, so now I just think, to have that now on both sides, I'm excited to see what happens. Because I think, like, I'm the same as Shemi, like, I haven't watched him mm-hmm. in games and that. But in terms of the comps that I've seen, I was just focusing more on his game against Leicester mm-hmm. and his game against Arsenal. And he's going for it in them games. Like, I've spoken to Arsenal fans about a couple of my boys who are Arsenal fans. They were telling me, like, that he destroyed them, innit, when he played them. So, yeah, so, like, that's... And they were, they were proper, like, praising him as well. They were, like, they were so glad to, like, see the end of to see the back of him, to be fair.
I mean, but, I was going to say, it's a good point you bring up in terms of both sides, because there has been a time where everyone said, okay, cool, Eden, we just relied on playing through him on one side, and the whole... we're surrounded with bums type thing. And these guys, listen, Boley's aggressive. Like, I was expecting maybe one or two players. But again, Mudrick's come in. Madueke's come in. Obviously, Felix has come in. Like, they seem intent to do a summer transfer window in January, which is crazy. let's go to the Liverpool game. And we don't have to focus on the Liverpool game because, frankly, I can't remember it. But one of the big talking points after it was Mount, because he didn't have a good game. And so on social media, like a battle kind of happened because you could kind of see Mount's whole PR system. I feel like when they talk about the Chelsea Hour propaganda machine, it pales in comparison to what Mount's built with the media, with all of these different content creators, with, you know what I'm saying? Like, So there's this whole war raging, and it's kind of, what's fueled the fire is the fact that, listen, I was shocked to find out after the season, he's got a year left of his contract. It's still not signed. Apparently, there's an impasse because one of the big things apparently is because he doesn't want these kind of like long, bowly death row contracts that he's handing out. But apart from that, there's murmurs saying, show me that I'm valued, which when people criticize Mount for that, listen, any player, why would you sign a contract if you're not valued, especially like a long one? You want to know exactly what you're signing up for. And so he has the right to ask for that. He's linked with Liverpool. At first, like, ask me even a couple of months ago, I'm saying, no fucking chance. No fucking chance, mate. That's what my Scouser friends say. But now, it seems like, actually, this could happen. So I want to come to Shemi first, because Shemi, I don't think you're like, I wouldn't say you're a devout Mount like support. Like, I wouldn't say you're like a lawyer in terms of, regardless of what's accurate, you're going to defend Mount. I think you just try to be objective around him. Is that fair?
Precisely.
So then I'd want to hear your opinion, because if you are objective, then you're going to have like a nice level-headed opinion. I don't want to hear agenda. I just want to hear what's the truth. Tell us, Jimmy.
So what, regarding what?
The whole Mount
stay or like,
Just the whole Mount situation. You can touch on the different tenants. Listen, this isn't the main point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Look, this season, he's not been good this season, I think. But I think generally, I think the criticism is overboard, personally. And when I look at Mount's whole body of work in terms of when he first came into the team up until now, I think he can look back and he's done quite well for himself, personally, in my opinion. I think a lot of the good stuff, I think I said in the group chat, a lot of the good stuff he's done kind of in past seasons is a bit kind of forgotten as football fans. We've got short memories. And I was trying to get this out on the main point, but I couldn't. But I felt like, coming into the team his first season, he'd done well to help us get top four. Then I think under Tuchel, he was, especially in that first 6 months under Tuchel, he was one of our better players and had a great Champions League run. Last season, performances are debatable, but, you know, he was putting up the numbers when, you know, other guys weren't kind of putting up the numbers. So I feel like generally, like, he's got a decent, quite a good body of work at Chelsea, personally. And now, that's not to say like the protection is a lot, and he's obviously got a lot of PR in the media, and it is definitely, when you're seeing things like the hidden stats during the Euros, it's like, why are we doing this? Like, this is just ridiculous. So it's literally, like you said, it's a war. But where I stand kind of thing is that I personally, I'm not kind of torn either way. I would get if he wants to leave because he doesn't view value, simply because I feel like he has put in enough work at Chelsea, and he has achieved, he's contributed to what a lot of the good stuff Chelsea have done over the last few years, a fair amount to want to feel valued, if that makes sense. In my opinion, I think that's fair. But at the same time, with the type of players that we've been signing, especially in this window, and the quality of players that we're signing. So, for example, João Félix is a good example to use because we've all watched João Félix. Do you know what I mean? And we know what João Félix is about. With those type of players, the bar has kind of risen a little bit at Chelsea. And I feel like, as much as I do like Mount, he doesn't quite reach that bar. So, having said that, with those players now in the squad, I would expect them to obviously be playing ahead of Mount. And Mount's not someone to kind of settle for a reduced role, considering how much football he's played over the last few years. So, yeah, like, I think him leaving would make sense. I think it would be fair. Do I see it happening? I'm still not 100% convinced because I feel like Mount's one of those one club players. You know, like your Hendersons and those type of guys. But it's definitely not inconceivable. Over the past few weeks, I've definitely realized that it's not impossible. It can happen, and I think if it was to happen,
I think it'd be fair. And personally, I'm kind of leaning towards it happening, like wanting it to happen, because I'm just really over the whole war in the fan base. I'm over him being the constant topic of conversation. Like, you know, Chelsea is just so much bigger than Mason Mount, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of my take on it.
Well, so number one, Henderson isn't the one club man, he's from Sunderland. Newcastle, but
as soon as you got to Liverpool, you kind of knew you weren't going anywhere else. But yeah, fair.
And then you said what? First question. So if you was Bowley, what would you do in a situation, Mark?
I would offer him a new contract first and foremost because I feel like he deserves it. And if he, I'd give him. I wouldn't. I don't think I'd. Kind of bent over backwards in terms of going over and beyond kind of to keep him, if that makes sense. I'd give him terms that, you know, are reasonable and, you know, kind of to what he wants, but still kind of in my court type thing. And yeah, if he signs it, he signs it. And if he doesn't, I wouldn't be begging him to stay personally. I would offer him the contract and give him good terms, but it wouldn't be one of those ones where I'm kind of like, how do I explain it? Where you're kind of fighting and begging him to stay? Because I don't think it's worth that.
But you said that Mount put up numbers last season when others didn't. Who were the others you were talking about?
To be fair, I know where you're going with this. So to be fair, if we're talking all comps, Lukaku was our top scorer, I believe.
I think they all pretty much scored the same amount.
They scored similar, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously Mount played way more.
Yeah. Sorry?
Obviously, Mount played way more, but I think they all ended up on like 13, but Mount played by far the most.
Yeah. I think it was more like both the goals and assists, which were quite far ahead of everybody else, I believe. I think it was 29 he got.
Listen, for what I'd say is this, and this is just my, well, to be fair, I was going to say this is just my thing, but really and truly, it should be everyone's thing. I don't believe you should add up goals and assists.
Yeah.
So I hear that, but apart from that, I think what's important, and this is why the whole stats thing, I just feel like I love stats, but the way it's used by people is so inaccurate. So stats are something that could be a sharp tool, but the way people are using it, so blunt, so careless. And like when we're talking about the goal threat from our teams, like, Jorginho, we love the fact that he scores so many penalties, but we're not going to look at it like, yeah, Jorginho's outscoring all the you other guys because they're penalties, right? And so, as much as Mount did get assists and set pieces come into it, don't forget, when it's a thing where you're nominated to take it, so like set pieces, whether it's corners or free kicks, it's a nomination. One person gets chosen to take it. Penalties, that's why like you have to consider that. It's not like, I'm not saying that it's bad that Jorginho scores penalties, it's good that he does it, but it doesn't make him a goal threat. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think it's the same with Mount or just anyone taking set pieces. I always look at, okay, if you're the nominated set piece taker, then I expect you to get a bit more assist than everybody else, right? But but even with that, he did get assists as well. My thing is with the whole kind of assist thing, again, you have to understand he's played the most. So again, these are the things that I take into account. So then I look at how things are set up to when people's like, "Oh, look, he's done more than everybody else." Yeah, well, he's set piece taker. He's played way more than everybody else. And so without taking the fact that, yeah, the result is he did get assists, he did get goals, I always try to, as an analyst, normalize, you know, the playing field. Otherwise, it's just like, yeah, of course, things are set up for him to win. Now, what I'd say about Mount in terms of his assists specifically, and then Jay, I'll come on to you. I think a lot of these assists, like where I say wow with Mount is never any of his assists. When I say never, I'm talking about like, maybe once in the blue moon, but I've never said wow. I barely say wow in terms of Mount in his game with an assist. To be fair, the only kind of times I remember saying wow with Mount is his strikes in and around the box. And I can think of a number of occasions. And I think that's his special kind of real power. You know what I'm saying?
His last quality assist, yeah, was that touch out, the one against Fulham, the touch out of the air, and then he plays it through to Kai, the through ball. That was his last like quality assist.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really good.
Yeah, that was like proper top quality. That's the last one I remember.
The CL one was top quality as well.
The Hudson-Odoi one, or
the CL one, Man City one. Yeah, in the final.
The Man City.
I don't know.
That pass is slightly overrated.
I don't think that was.
I think the gap is so big.
Yeah, you're right. The gap was very
big. Werner helps make it big. Yeah, and it's not. Look, a lot of the times we see it and Mount doesn't make that pass. So we're all happy that he makes the pass. But I don't necessarily think that's like amazing. It's just, yeah, we're happy that it happened. And a lot of people, not just Mount, might not make the pass. So he made the pass and credits where credit's due. But I was never wow with that pass. I think the Hudson-Odoi one, really good. To be fair, when I think about Mount in terms of wow, in terms of anything away from the strikes, but I think that's the area where there's so many occasions where I can say, amazing, amazing strike. But the Burnley game, people always go to it, but that's not regular Mount. That Burnley game, under Lampard, you saw a lot of good passing, etc., etc. But generally, I only ever say wow with Mount when it's a strike in and around the box. And that's why when I think about, look, if I was Bowley, would I offer Mount a contract? The answer is no, I wouldn't. I probably, like, I'd even not just offer him fair terms. I wouldn't. And that's not to say... Yeah, it's not to say that Mount's not done anything for Chelsea. It's not about, it's like with Roberto Di Matteo. I know he won the Champions League. Personally, I wouldn't have offered him a contract because it's not about what you've done. It's what is happening in the future. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think with Mount, number one, I think he's easily replaceable. Personally, I'm not talking about his connection with the fans. I'm not talking about the kind of whole Cobham factor and all of those type of stuff. I'm just talking about what I see from him in the pitch. When I analyse his game, I think his game, for me, the pressing is important. I loved Costa and Drogba, et cetera, because they were nuisance and they were the first line of defence. And I think he brings that. So I give credit to him for that. I also give credit to him for his technical security. And people kind of laugh when you say technical with Mount, but we've seen so many players come in. Like even Kai Havertz, Drogba, Lukaku, Werner, et cetera. Like Mount, a lot of the times, like he might let you down in terms of not making a pass or just taking a shot, being greedy and stuff like that. But he like miscontrols. Like he usually good. He's got good control. And even like when the ball is around him and he fights for like there's three or four players, he will fight for that ball. So he's really that technically secure for me. And I think that's a good part of his game. A lot of times it's not a wild part of his game. There are some times where he does a little run and he uses his body or does a nice little turn, which looks good. But for me, what I'm looking at is in an attack, if Mount, because I think his strike is the main USP for Mount. If Mount was actually a serious goal threat, then I would keep him if he's a regular serious goal threat. But really and truly, I just feel like his game being the strike, which is the odd strike. I know you like people talk about his goals and all that type of stuff. It's the odd strike. It's just not enough for me. And I can get like other people to kind of do the Harry and stuff. Like, and I know, like, I think personally for me, Mount and Havertz, where a lot of people, when we first bought them, was like, oh, Mount will play deeper and he'll feed the balls. I was like, no chance. And I said it on this podcast. I said, no chance. Number one, him playing deeper never going to happen. He's going to be the one that's going to try and get in the box. He calls himself the box-to-box midfielder. He don't care about being in the other box. He's just the attacking box midfielder. Let's be honest. Like he might do it for a couple of games, but then he'll say, I'm not involved, and he would want to get the goals. He cares about the final third, not the first third. And so he wants to be fed. Like, and that's why a lot of times where he doesn't make that through ball, he's thinking about, okay, how do I get the ball back? He wants to be fed. And so with Mount, it's like when we've got a Felix and Mudrick, these guys, you can see already, they can do the through balls. And when I look at someone like Kai, Kai makes runs in behind. I know people ask, what does Kai do, et cetera, et cetera. But he makes those runs in that behind. We need people that will make those runs in behind. And he kind of leads the line. He does the aerial duels. Do you know what I'm saying? He's better at link up. We've already seen it with Felix. So I just feel like there's a lot more variety to his game. Whereas when I look at Mount's game, I don't see the variety like that. Like, and so for me, just looking in terms of building, I think a lot of people are now saying, oh, he was pushed into the attack. Let's see him in midfield. We've been seeing him in midfield. We've seen him before in midfield. I don't rate it. I just don't rate it. I'm not going to lie. I don't rate it. And so looking forward to attack, I think one of the reasons why we haven't had a devastating attack, and we've talked about how hopefully we do have a devastating attack now because we've got fast attacks, et cetera, et cetera. I think Mount's kind of going to get in the way of that. And so again, like you said, Mount's not someone that wants to be a bench boy. Why would you give him a contract if you can't promise him to be the starter? Because he's just going to be frustrated. He's just going to be a bad element in the dressing room. And if Liverpool...
Yeah, my thing behind that was that he probably could slot back into a midfield role now that we've got threatening attackers. But even that is still like... It's kind of still wishful thinking a little bit because the squad is bloated. But that was my thinking behind it. But yeah, continue, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, for me... The answer is no for me, just because, like, I think Mount's an attacking midfielder. I don't believe he's interested in doing the defensive work like that. And so he'd have to be, for me, as part of the attack. Even if it's attacking four, I'd count him as an attack. I think we'd be better for it if he leaves, especially with the opportunity maybe to get Felix permanent. I'd want him to have that. Like, you know, that playmaker role. I'd want him basically to replace Mount, and so I wouldn't offer him. That's a very easy decision for me. I get Boley might be afraid from the backlash from the fans, but I've seen, and I think I was this way with Mata when everybody was complaining about Mata, Mourinho not playing Mata. I was like, move him on. I can't lie. And to be fair with Mata, I was a bit more relaxed about it. If he stayed, he stayed, because Mata's not someone that... Mount is not like a Mount. Mount tries to make... I feel like he makes everything about him. And I think he'd be a really, really bad, really, 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 really vindictive and bad element in the dressing room if he doesn't get his way. Whereas Mount is not that type of guy. He's a nice guy. But I think with Mount, where everybody loved him, he got the two Player of the Season awards, just like Mount did. I just saw it. Personally saw it as like we can do better in terms of KDB, especially someone at the squad in the squad. And so I was like, right, are you like guys are complaining about Mata? KDB is going to be a worldie and he's not playing. And so I was more concerned with him not playing. When we sold Mata to United, everybody's acting like it's the worst thing ever, etc. etc. We moved on quickly. We wouldn't move on so quickly without Mount, I promise you.
We definitely would. I'm not denying that. But I just want to ask you something quickly before Jermaine. I know Jermaine's waiting to come in, but just quickly, you know when you said if he didn't get his way, you'd feel like he would be bad in the dressing room. You said that, right? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What's that based on? Because I don't really see it. Like, I know a lot of people have this narrative of him that, you know, like, if he doesn't get his way, he's going to be... But to me, he just seems like a really nice guy.
He said it himself. From that game where he dropped him for the Wolves game, Tuchel said it himself.
What did he say?
Tuchel said when he dropped him, he was off with him. I think he went up to him and said, you're going to regret it and all this type of stuff. And
Mount said that.
Yeah, I can't say it verbatim because it's ages ago.
But I'm not sure.
You think I'm lying? Mm. Go check.
I don't know, man. I couldn't imagine saying that to Tuchel. Tuchel was
open about it. This is what Tuchel said. Tuchel said that Mount confronted him. I think Tuchel said it, that Mount confronted him about not playing, and Tuchel said that made me like him. Tuchel said the passion for the fact that he wanted to play, whereas a lot of managers would have been put off because he's going to regret it, you're going to et cetera, et cetera. That made him like him. And so, like, again, you as a manager, you want players to be upset with not playing, right? But what I'm saying is Mount, again, he needs to go to a place where he's playing because he's not going to be a good squad player. He doesn't see, he's a protagonist. And so this is not necessarily a character flaw, because this is someone that wants to be the main man. I'm just saying, you can't keep on putting main men in the supporting, like, squad roles. That's just like bad squad planning, because you're going to have them upset. No, I'm not asking for Mount to be happy as a squad player. I just don't see it as a good fit, because he's someone. That's why Sterling left Man City. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he wanted to be like, he sees himself as a main man. He's always played. Mount went straight on loan. He didn't want to do any of the rubbish kind of waiting around. He went to where he could play, Vitesse. Then he went to Derby. He came back to Chelsea because Lampard said, you can play. In his mind, he wants to start. He wants to be a regular. He doesn't want to be a rotation player. He doesn't see himself as that. He's not going to be a happy camper. And that's not necessarily a bad trait. It's just that, why would you give him a contract if you're not planning for him to be the starter? Because I just don't believe that he'll be a good, happy camper as a squad player. He doesn't see himself. There's certain players that are just happy to collect their paycheck or happy to be part of the team. I don't see that as Mount.
That's fair.
Yeah. Would you give him the contract if he was Dave?
The thing is that if I was to offer Mace a contract, I'd be very clear, like, about what his role would be in this squad. Mm-hmm. And so if he makes the decision to leave off the basis that I see him as literally a squad player, because that's what his performance is all round, in terms of consistency, in terms of the level of performance, forget about stats. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about the quality of performances. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen Pulisic turn up with a goal here and there, and then, you know, he goes for the whole game. Do you understand? And everybody's quick to say, oh, Pulisic has been shit the whole game, but he scored a goal. Do you understand? But it just seems like when that's Mount, that doesn't really count for the same player. So for me, when I'm watching Mount, like I even said last season, yeah, his goals went up, but his performances were worse. His performances, his all-round performances in games, they were worse. In terms of what he was adding to the team, it was worse. And the season before that, the performances were decent. But the goals and the assists and stuff like that wasn't there. So like, I was hoping this season he would merge the two together, balance it out, more performances, and show up with some goals and assists, considering how much he plays. Now, my thing is with Mount, how can you have, you know, players, yeah, when they don't play well, normally they're suffering from confidence, in terms of like not having the confidence of the manager, not having the confidence from the fans, not having the confidence, from the owner, whoever, yeah? Mount has confidence coming from every fucking angle. Like, you can't be, what is the reason for Mount to be playing poorly? Like, I'm not saying in terms of you're not allowed to play poorly as a player. But if Mount is this great player that everybody thinks he is, yeah? And I use the word great because that's how some people talk about him. Me personally, I think he's a good player. Mm-hmm. A good player. So I just think he can do a lot of things. Like, some things good, some things decent. I don't really think he does anything extraordinary. I think he's got the capability to score like a cracker here and there, like in terms of like a long range shot or a crazy finish. Like I can't remember, like I think the one against Leeds or the one against Norwich where he just kind of slaps it top, like roofs it. Yeah. But like, apart from that, like in terms of when I'm watching him play the game throughout the whole 90 minutes, not getting subbed off, like I'm just like, you watch the clear example. Yeah. You watch Reece James, whether he scores or assists or whatever, you can see it. You can see why he's there. You can see why he is the best, one of the best players at our football club. Do you understand? You don't need to make no excuses. You don't need to like fake no stories. You don't need to bring up stats. You don't need to bring up all these things about, since Hazard, this and that and blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't need to. We don't need that for Reece James because we know it. But it just seems like we're always coming up with something else to kind of tell ourselves why Mount is at this certain level that people keep saying. So for me, I just think until Mount manages to get to the performance level that Chelsea are normally used to with their midfielders or their attackers, whatever he wants to be, because that's another thing he needs to decide. He needs to decide what he wants to be. He needs to tell the gaffer what he wants to be. And the gaffer needs to also understand that at the end of the day, we're going to have top quality midfielders here. If Enzo comes tomorrow, I'm sorry, Mount. It's a long day for you, bro. If Caicedo's here tomorrow, it's even longer. And if Santos comes back and then he slots straight into the Prem, what happens then? So, like, I don't understand why people think this is going to be... I feel like a lot of Chelsea fans that back Mount, they've got this feeling that like, it's going to be an easy ride for him at Chelsea. Number one, it shouldn't be. And number two, he hasn't... I feel like the accolades have kind of blinded people. So, like, the stats first in terms of goals and assists, so that, you know, you got double figures goals, double figures assists last season. And then the whole thing went out. Oh, the first player to do that since Hazard. So they were hanging on to that. They're hanging on to the player of the season. One he didn't even deserve. Do you understand? They're hanging on to all these things, but they don't tell the full story. Do you understand? They don't tell the full story because some of the performances, they weren't that good. Even in the season when he got top four for us, yeah? Not when he got top four for us. When we got top four under Lampard. My main memory of that season... And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure it's the COVID season, right?
Yeah.
When we got top.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't even think Mount had a better patch than Pulisic
in
that season. So everybody's talking so much crud about how Mount was so good and this and that. But bro, like there's been players that have performed, like definitely performed better than him at times. Do you understand? I don't think he's been as consistent as people make out. So, and I don't think he's progressed with the backing that he has. And the consistency that he's been able to get in terms of minutes, he hasn't. Any good player would progress well. Do you understand? Or they would have shown you some kind of, like they would have shown you a patch where you can look at that player and say, yeah, he's defo going places. Because like me and you spoke, Dan. Yeah, you see Rashford. Rashford had that season where he carried Man United, right? When they were in Europa and that he was scoring goals. He was carrying them in Europa. He was scoring goals there. He was basically, he scored a ton of goals. I think he scored like plus 20s or something. Then he went next season, had a poor season. And now he's back again doing the same thing. I don't really feel like we've ever had that with Mount. I don't get that confidence that I'm going to get anything like that from Mount, whether it be in midfield or as an attacker. Because I genuinely don't think I've seen that quality and consistency from him. Yeah. So when you're saying I want to be valued as a player, at Chelsea Football Club, you're either looking at the accolades that you've recently got and looking at your stats and that and saying, well, I've done more than Reece James. I've got player of the season. James has got none kind of thing. And you're basically saying, surely I'm more valuable than James. When actual facts, I'm sorry, brother, you're nowhere near.
Or he could be looking at the Werners, the Havertz, the Ziyeches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then that's where he's fucked up, innit? Do you see what I'm saying? Because, come on, bro, like, we all watch the game, like, if you're comparing it to Werner and them.
But them guys were on massive wages, though.
I hear you, but what I'm saying is, like, the owners are still going to look at that and be like, well, cool, but that was a mistake, innit? Like, at the end of the day, you can't try and use that as a thing, as if to say, oh, yeah, you gave them.
Definitely. No, I'm just looking from his point of view.
Even from his point of view, and even when we try to laugh at these players, because I'm not going to have it, when we're laughing at Ziyech, Werner, and all of that type of stuff, again, I think the first point to remember is one of the reasons why people might feel confident that Mount can outlast all these incoming players is because it's not the first time there have been incoming players where people have said Mount's not going to last them, and he's outlasted them. But again, it's about the level playing field. Now, like, people talk about Werner. When Mount played every single game, Werner, in his last season, I think he got, like, 11 goals for us and 6 assists, and he was barely playing. And so when people are talking, I feel like people brown nose and just lift up Mount so much that he can't even see that we can't even... Most people can't even see the truth. As Ziyech, people are like, oh yeah, he's doing much better than Ziyech. Again, like, to be fair, Ziyech barely plays, but from what I've seen, Ziyech, in terms of creativity, is far superior than Mount. And again, Ziyech gets goals too, but he just doesn't get enough game time to get the goals to compete with Mount. So I'm not having that Mount clear Ziyech. I'm sorry, I'm not having it. I'm not even having that he clears Werner. And Werner is someone that I don't rate, but Werner put up goals. He's just frustrating. And I'll get to maybe the frustration bit a little bit later, but I don't think Mount is levels above like these guys. And when with Reece James had to fight his way into the team. He shared a position with Aspi. Mount has never had to fight for a place. Is it because Mount's levels above these players? I don't believe so. Me personally, I don't believe so. And if he was,
I struggle to agree with the Werner one, but I do hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and if he was,
enough of Werner.
The thing is with Werner, I've never been a fan, but.
Werner showed a very low base level in terms of the foundations of football.
Right, but then this is what I'm saying. When you're talking about stats and you bring up the stats of Mount, you can still bring up the stats of Werner. Because again...
I'm not talking about stats. I'm actually just talking about the basic attributes of being a good footballer.
Right, but this is what I'm saying. So since you're talking about the base of being a good footballer, that's what Jermaine's saying about Mount. In terms of what he's bringing to the game, because people can bring up stats for Werner, just like people can bring out the stats for Mount. The same way you're saying, actually, let's talk about him as a footballer. Let's do that for Mount. Let's do that for Mount too. So when everyone's saying that he clears all of these players like Ziyech and et cetera, does he? Now, this is what I'll say. And I get it. I get one of the reasons everybody that the Liverpool game, there was a couple of passes that people wanted Mount to make and he didn't make that pass. And maybe because he doesn't back himself, maybe because he's consuming social media and he knows that maybe the pressure's on. But I said earlier, Mount is technically secure. That's a good thing. That's one of the reasons why people don't get on his back. Someone like a Ziyech is frustrating. He's frustrating because Ziyech, to be fair, Mount's frustrating too, maybe in some similar ways. Mount's not frustrating in terms of control of the ball and stuff like that. He is frustrating in terms of he doesn't make the pass, etc., or he does it, or he shoots or whatever at places where he shouldn't shoot. But Ziyech is way more frustrating because Ziyech tries Hollywood way more often. Maybe, I'm not sure. I'm frustrated with both. But Havertz is frustrating because he does miss control. He does have kind of like stinking games. But maybe Mount doesn't get the bad rap because as a player, a lot of times he'll make safe passes rather than making the other pass. And sometimes when you're always making a safe pass, when we saw Mudrić make that reverse pass to get someone in, again, a lot of people saw the levels. And so with Mount, you can't necessarily get on his back, but then I'm looking over these three or four seasons that he's been here, and I'm looking at the fact that he's been the main man. So when people kind of are down on Ziyech, down on Werner, et cetera, they haven't been given the keys. This is the guy we've given the keys to, Mount. And I don't think anyone can argue that, right? And I don't see why he deserves to be given the keys. I don't see him as a player that's anywhere near one of the best players in the world. And if Chelsea is one of the best clubs in the world, why are we submitting to Mount? And I get, like, we've had Salah at Chelsea. He was frustrating. And the Chelsea fans, I don't think they can handle frustrating players because Salah never got to play regularly, so we never got to see the upside of what Salah could bring. Salah at Liverpool has been frustrating. Liverpool fans will tell you. They've told me, even in his heyday when you're scoring like 30 goals, they're like, he's a frustrating player. We can actually see. Sometimes he really looks really bad. But with Chelsea, because of that frustration, the groans coming, et cetera, Salah never gets the chance to play like that. I talked about how Drogba, in his first two seasons here, the Chelsea fans was on his back. And people remember Drogba, maybe the back end of his career where everything was technically secure. He was mad frustrating. But he was still contributing. And I think with Chelsea, maybe we prefer someone that isn't going to necessarily contribute that much, but doesn't have those frustrating kind of things. And I get Mount, again, technically secure, always runs till it hurts, et cetera, et cetera. So he's the golden child. But that's kind of like with Oscar. And I always say that Oscar kept out KDB. KDB maybe doesn't run as much and all that type of stuff, but we have to be careful what we're optimizing for. You can be a frustrating player and you could be a worldie. We've seen that with Salah. he's not the best on the ball. Like, well, to be fair, Salah's good, but we've all heard that he's mad frustrated, and we've seen it here at Chelsea, and Chelsea fans still act like, oh, he was shit then. But he's always had that frustration, and sometimes that stays with you. And I think at Chelsea, what we need to do a bit better at, not everybody is going to be all-rounders like Felix, where they're contributing, but everything's technically secure. And I think with Mount, I just feel like the level isn't good enough for him to have the keys. And so that's why I'm happy to facilitate him leaving.
Yeah, now overall, I'd be called for him to stay. But I just think the role he plays at the club would need to change.
I can't even have that because, again, Pulisic. Yeah, again, Pulisic and Mount, I don't think Mount is levels over Pulisic. And I'd love to see a lot of these players go to teams where they play regularly. Because I think that as much as Pulisic frustrating, as much as Ziyech is frustrating, if they were given the same time as Mount, I think they'd do more. I honestly think that. But we've spent enough time on Mount. The Liverpool game, because that's why we're talking about Mount. We did draw. The teams came out. I know a lot of people weren't really excited about the teams. I just want to quickly touch on a few things from it. So I think it was so long ago, but obviously Modric is the main one. So we've signed Modric. He has been excited in that game. I think he excited everybody. He keeps on ticking all the tactics. If you do a scouting report, tactically, he seems like he can, you know, play different places. Technically, amazing vision as well. Some players that are fast, do you know what I'm saying? They miss things because they're so fast, but he's got the vision. So how impressed are you by Modric Shemi?
Yeah, I was very impressed. Very, very impressed. I think the one thing that you can ask for, when you get a cameo off the bench, is just for them to show you something, especially as a fan who hasn't watched a player before. So, for example, I never watched Modric before. I never heard of him before Arsenal were linked. So it's like, okay, cool. Let me actually see what you can do, kind of thing. And in that 35 minutes, he showed me so many things. Oh. So he showed me that he had pace, like incredible pace, that he can play in tight spaces, that he's got an eye for invention with that reverse pass that you mentioned. And he's also got a composure about him in the box. Yeah. In those few instances. So the one where he done a little twinkle toes to get a shot off. And there was another one where he played a couple of times where he played Chukwuemeka in, where he showed some composure to play him in. I was like, wow, there's so many facets of an attacker that I like, yeah, that you show me in this in just a small 35-minute cameo. And I think those attackers that have all of those bits all blended into one, they're very, very special. And for me, it's just a shame that we have to wait 2 weeks before if we can actually confirm that this is real. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously you had a 35-minute cameo. I was looking forward to playing Fulham because I think it's on a Friday night. And then Bab said it's in 2 weeks. I was like, oh my God, my heart, I was so upset.
You know you're scared you're not going to see it again, innit?
I was so upset because I was like, I need to see this ASAP. I need to confirm that this is real. But if that is kind of what he is, kind of, and it sounds kind of silly what I'm saying because I saw it with my own eyes, but you know, as football fans, we're just very scared, and I've been burnt too many times. But from what we saw in that Liverpool game, it looks like he's got so much to his boat, and I'm really, really excited to see him play again. And it looks like him alone is gonna lift this attack up by so many levels because, again, like I said, link up play, the individualism, flair, creativity,
works hard
so much. That one comes very exciting.
Works hard,
yeah, too. And works hard too, yeah.
Apparently, he's practicing, shooting. He's obviously he looks up to Cristiano Ronaldo. Both Felix and Modric was linked, both of them, not even one or the other, with Arsenal. And a lot of people, they want to go to Arsenal, leave them alone. Listen, if we let Modric go to Arsenal, crazy, crazy, crazy. But now, do you know what? I put him up on one of the accounts, and people were saying that. They said actually why PMP players get these hamstring injuries and then they're finished. That's what a couple of people were saying. So I think they mentioned people like Bale. Obviously, Robben was injury prone, but they talked about how because he's fast, he's in danger of potentially getting an injury, then losing his pace, and then maybe And I don't know, Jermaine, I don't know if you see that as well, because I never kind of heard of that, but that's what they're saying.
Hamstring injuries are common for wingers generally, like quick wingers and stuff like that. But I think, so I don't really think there's anything too like new about what's said about hamstring injuries. What I will say though is that them man from them countries there, boy, they're built different. So Wales and Russia, they're two different things, in it. So
but you know what it is. So Shevchenko, it was more towards the end of his career, but he lost his pace, and I think it was after injury too. And that's when Chelsea decided, let's go get Shevchenko. But obviously to be fair, Nonny's someone that gets injuries and he's still fast. Dembele's someone that's get injuries, he's still fast. Obviously, like, even the technology in terms of what they use for people is moved forward.
I think Torres is an example of someone like white PMP, and he had a lot of muscle injuries, didn't he?
Yeah, but
he was really quick to begin with. Yeah.
He was quick.
He was quick
at Liverpool, but something changed. And I remember when we were signing him again, and this is why I'm glad we got Mudrić before any of this rubbish. But the Liverpool, he had an injury, and I remember
Before he came, right?
Yeah, he
wasn't playing good, and I remember
he came back
from injury, and then he scored two goals against us, even though I remember all season. And then that's when Chelsea thought, oh, he's back, let's go and spend the money. Just after Shevchenko, we decided to do the same thing with Torres. But anyway, in terms of Liverpool game, Hall played, I think, playing risky passes. I think he was playing risky passes and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys have anything to say about Hall, but I think apart from that, Cucurella did really well against Salah. Ziyech, again, another good game. And Badiashile and Silva, really good. Havertz, maybe, I don't know if you want to talk about Havertz. Obviously, he's got an offside guard. People said he had a good performance as well, but that was a Liverpool game. Transfers. So there's a lot going on. We seem to be wanting the midfielder. We went back in for Enzo. That doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Apparently, he's going to get a bonus for not coming. We're linked with Caicedo. Arsenal are trying to copy our homework. They're in for him too. We're linked with Onana. We're linked with Lavia. We're linked with a gang of midfielders. So Shemi, do you have a horse in the race in terms of what we should do in midfield, or if we should do anything?
Personally, I'm happy to kind of I'm happy to sort the midfield in the summer. I don't know if that sounds crazy, but honestly, I am. I think what we've done in the window so far, I think is sufficient. Because, you know, the most bleeding problem in this team is the attack. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we can't improve on our midfield. We definitely can. But I just don't see it as this... I don't see it as the priority of the attack, basically, is what I'm saying. And the fact that we sorted the attack, I'm good to go for the rest of the season, personally. Yeah. And also, we have a lot of bodies in midfield as well. A lot of bodies. Chukwuemeka is naturally a midfielder, I believe. I know he's been playing further forward, but he's another body in midfield, kind of. Kante is still coming back. Ruben's still coming back. And on top of Kovacic and Jorginho. So, and Gallagher. So, there's enough bodies in there. Do you know what I mean? I know it's not like in terms of what a lot of people, what certain fans want in terms of that, you know, that Casemiro DM or, you know, that athletic midfielder who's gonna, you know, play the Kante role or whatever. But I genuinely feel like with what we've done in the attack, we're okay to go for the rest of the season and then address the midfield in the summer, personally.
Yeah, we got Andre Santos coming back as well, got midfielders for days.
Exactly.
Lewis, yeah. Jermaine, where do you stand on it? So we're linked with Onana, Lavia, Caicedo seems to be the one that is the main guy.
While Southampton are in the relegation zone, they're in the relegation places, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think so. They're
pretty much bottom. They're bottom.
Yeah. Whilst that is the case, I would definitely hold out for the summer, because if you're able to get Lavia for
why try and buy him now rather than in the summer? In the summer, then a lot of people will be competing. Plus, in the summer, maybe we can't give him a 7-year death row.
Maybe, but I think I'm kind of with Shemi in terms of, like, with the bodies that we've got now, not only have we got a lot of them, but I'm not like other fans where I think they're completely useless.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are making out that, you know, our midfielders ain't going to be able to pass to Modric and them, man. So,
yeah.
I just think that's just ridiculous, isn't it? Like, not so long ago, these same people were going nuts about Kovacic and how he was our best player, like one of our best players. And now I've seen a whole 360 and the man am I saying, oh, sell him or like he shouldn't be playing. And like, I get that he's injury prone. I get that. But there is no way you're telling me that Kovacic cannot have some good games with these new signings that we've just got. Impossible. Even Jorginho as well. Impossible.
I mean, Jorginho's
actually been in good form. I thought he was actually one of the better players against Liverpool.
He's been one of the better players under Potter, generally.
I agree. I think generally he's been playing well. And I think he's gone under the radar, personally.
Yeah, they won't say it because they want him gone. But it's definitely true. And with Hall and Gallagher and players like that, I think Potter's trying to do what he can in a short space of time to try and develop their game in the way that he wants them to play. With Gallagher, I think it might be a bit more difficult. With Hall, I think there's something to work with there. But against Liverpool, one of the reasons why I think he was making so many poor decisions is because he was trying to be inventive at times, because Liverpool were pressing us quite high. And so, not pressing us high, but like they were trying to get onto our touch, like when we was dropping in the midfield and that. And so Hall, when he was dropping in, he was trying to like kind of just catch them off guard and try a little something different. So
yeah. To be fair, I wasn't really happy with Potter for kind of throwing him in the midfield at Anfield, because obviously Hall's played all of his games at left back in the first team.
There was an injury to Kovacic. Sorry? Kovacic was supposed to be playing. There was an injury, and that's the reason why Hall played.
Fair play. But even then, I still feel. I don't know. You know what? If that was the reason why, then fair enough. Because it baffled me, if I'm honest. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Because I remember in the first half, he did try to drop deep and pick it up, which was brave of him. But obviously, he just didn't have the Jorginho in him to kind of like with the awareness, to kind of know when the press coming and then give it off. And there's a couple of times when he got caught.
Because I don't know if you watched against Villa, but like the game I'm talking about is the game just before we'd come back into the season. You know, we had that friendly against Villa, but they played like their full team, obviously. But Hall played in midfield in that game, and what he was trying to do against Liverpool, he was doing it a lot against Villa, and every time he was doing it, he was actually like catching him out so many times. So he beat like one or two players, and then he was kind of through with so much space and options to play out wide and stuff. So I think he was trying to do that against Liverpool, but obviously it's a different level now. So they kind of clocked it, and his passes were a bit off. So I think that's going to happen. I see people saying, "Oh, throw Santos straight in. These men couldn't even take Hall for one game."
They can't take Carney. They can't all of these guys. And here's the thing with Hall, and it is, as you're a Chelsea fan, so you're going to be watching to win, and you're going to be emotional. These young players. Yeah. You shouldn't really be coaching it out of Hall. The fact that he's taking risks with his passing, with his dribbling, you don't coach that out of him just because it's not working perfectly now. As he does that, and this is why you don't throw players in. Like, you don't necessarily. Obviously, in the case where Kovacic is injured and he does a role, I think we should be as fans a bit more patient, a bit more understanding. But it's why you kind of don't just throw these guys in, and you actually Kovacic, who again, when Kovacic was playing deep, he made loads of mistakes initially, and then especially in the Premier League where you're going to get pressed differently compared to other leagues, and then he kind of grew into being able to do it way more successfully. And I think that Hall, rather than saying stop doing this, stop doing that, he needs to be given the space to learn how to do it on this level. And I get it was frustrating for fans, but that's just part of development. Gallagher apparently might be sold to bring in one of these players like a Caicedo. How do you feel about that, Jay, and then Shemi?
I'm not too bothered about it, to be honest with you. I think I do like Gallagher, but I think Gallagher's not, when I'm looking at the players that we've got now and I'm looking at maybe some of the players that could come in, I don't think Gallagher's going to be at that level. So I'd say it's also important for him, if he's going to develop, it's going to be important for him to play as much as he can as well. So I think it will work out for everybody if he does get sold.
Okay. You know what I mean? Semi on Connor.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not Connor's biggest fan, to be honest. I don't think he's Chelsea level. I don't think he's Chelsea level. His lack of awareness really, really annoys me, especially in Liverpool games. Just annoying me. But yeah, I think, as Jermaine said, obviously he was playing week in and week out at Palace. So the role he has now is not necessarily the best for him. So I think everybody wins if we sell. And I think we should have sold in the summer. But yeah, he's done decent at times on the Potter, but he's just not my type of player. Yeah, he's just not my type of player. I don't really like him. So yeah, I'll be cool with that.
All right. Okay, we are coming up to a Chessie hour, so we're not going to prolong it. Thank you for listening, Shemi. Jay, thank you for coming on. So when's the next game? February the...
I think it's next Friday, I think, against Fulham.
All right, we'll find something to do.
That's so long. Oh, my God.
Pick up a new hobby, watch some basketball, but we will see you back next week. All right, that's it, guys.
All right, later.
And ranting, doing the most. True say that money is power, so when you get money, keep quiet and ghost. I remember when I shot my shot, but I didn't have guap, so I hit the post. But next time it's a golden goal.
Sports Social Podcast Network.